episode 203 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Donna, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Sandy, Laura, and Elizabeth. You know this podcast, we love to talk about the 49th state. It's awe-inspiring. It's immense. It's enormous. By far the largest state, and even bigger than Texas.
Somebody put that in there just for you, Donna.
Oh, I know. So even though we've talked about some great things through there, we haven't covered them all. Recently, Sandy and Lindsay boarded the Holland America Eurodam for a round-trip cruise from Seattle through the Inside Passage. And here to talk about it with us, as well as why Holland America is uniquely suited to the cruise Alaska in style, is Tara Schreiner. As Senior Manager of Strategic Accounts, Tara is responsible for supporting the growth of home-based travel partners. Hailing from Los Angeles, Tara has the diverse background in the travel industry, holding positions everywhere from a motorcycle travel company to tour operators, and most recently at Fathom. She has an MBA from Loyola Marymount University, and her personal travels have taken her to all seven wonders of the world. We can't wait to pick her brain about Alaska, so let's get started. Hi, Tara.
Welcome.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction, and I'm so excited to be here. So just thanks and biggest gratitude to the listeners and to you guys for having me here today.
Yay, thank you.
I have to tell you, this was such an awesome experience on Holland America. We didn't know what to expect, and it blew us away. So we're really excited to talk about it.
Oh, thank you. I went on the same itinerary you guys did about 3 weeks before you went, and I have to say the same. It blew me away, and not just because I work for Holland America, but like it really did on a personal level. It was phenomenal. So I'm super excited to go over it with you guys.
Yeah, it's great. Hey.
All right, so I want to just cut right to the elephant in the room. Holland America is famous for older cruisers, shall we say. And although Sandy and Lindsay are not that old,
spring chickens.
Can we talk
a
little?
I like to call them the chronologically gifted.
I like that. So can you talk to us a little bit about the demographic of Holland America and who would be suited for these cruises?
Yeah, absolutely. So the target audience for Holland America, we call them the globe-trotting learner. So these are people who are really in tune with learning while they travel. And typically, that's going to be your couple that's retired and looking to really dive into more destinations. But that's really not the case when it comes to specific product lines like Alaska. Oh, there's a ton of multi-generational travel. It's because Alaska is such a destination that has something for everybody, and it's a big bucket list item, and it's amazing for kids. So on my sailing a couple months ago, there was over 300 kids on board because so many grandparents are bringing their kids, bringing their kids' kids, or their nieces and nephews. It's a wide family range. So during Alaska, we definitely have a multi-generational platform there. But overall, the globe-trotting learner is who Holland America is really for. So.
I would like to touch on the kid thing because we had 100 and either 14 or 40, I can't remember, kids on ours.
I thought it was 114.
Yeah, so it wasn't a lot of kids.
But it was also very late in August.
It was the end of the season, so after a lot had gone back to school. But the kids that were there were not like running around screaming. You know, it wasn't like chaos kids there. The kids that were there were, like, you could tell they were well-traveled. They just kind of fit into the background. I don't know. And then we toured the kids club, and we were talking to the people up there, and they were telling us that even whenever there's not a lot of kids, they still have all the same hours in the kids club, and they can tailor it just to your kids. So
yes.
I think it, like, I was finding myself thinking of friends of mine who wouldn't like a typical family cruise line, but that would love this because it fits their family better.
So do you feel the kids are engaged with the learning aspect
Definitely.
Of Alaska?
Yeah. Because there's this part, there, if you, when you go up into the crow's nest up in the EXC lounge, there's like a big screen and there's a question of the day. And it's like, you know, one of the questions might be, where was your first cruise? So you go over and, you know, so we're like answering the question and then our answer is coming up on the screen and it's like, has this little dot going across the globe and the kids are behind us going, I bet you it's the Bahamas, you know? Yeah. So they were loving it up there, you know, they were, but it didn't feel like there were kids everywhere that you would be annoyed with. So,
Yeah, and
it
really
met my children.
I think it really offers that learning aspect and that educational experience that it's not just a vacation. It really is a way to connect more with the destination, with Alaska's culture, with Alaska's history, with just, you know, all of the details that make Alaska great and why all the kids love it, with the wildlife. You know, there's so much that it has, and Holland America does things really well because we've been going to Alaska longer than Alaska's been the 49th state. So,
Wow, is that true?
So we're lucky there.
That was one of my favorite aspects I was not expecting, that kind of maybe call it a carryover for my love from Fathom, was the educational opportunities on board and the lectures that we had. And that day in Glacier Bay, having the national park, we didn't have any time that day because we were like, we got to go here. And then we have to be, they laid out the map. We wanted to make every talk. We wanted to be at every point of interest at the right time on the right, correct section of the ship. It was a great experience.
Glacier Bay is one of, like, it's such a highlight, and we, you know, we bring on a ranger who goes through the entire experience in Glacier Bay and reminds us about travel and about preservation. But Glacier Bay just, it really speaks to really all about Alaska is as a natural reserve. You know, it's a national park, but Holland America is also the cruise line that has the most amount of passes to Glacier Bay. They only allow two ships in every single day, and Holland America has the most amount of passes. But it's my favorite part of it's arguably one of my favorite. I don't know if I can say it's my favorite.
It was my favorite. I loved it.
We serve hot chocolate on the deck, or hot toddies if you prefer. So it's really, it's so much, and it's we're there the whole day, and you're right, there's so much going on that, like, the day goes by quick, but it's special.
It was amazing because we went up straight up to that crow's nest for the ranger talk at like 8 a.m. And she whipped out her park map and she told us all the little inlets we were going to be going in and what we were going to see. And then that was cool because then we knew that it would be like if we were on our balcony and we couldn't hear the announcements, we could turn on our TV. And if you're watching the forward facing camera, it's on there and you can hear it. So little things like that that you might miss if you're not engaged or looking for it. But it just made it so much better. And then, you know, they opened up the bow of the ship only on that day. And that was so awesome.
So you could actually go out to the bow of the ship and stand on it?
It was so cool.
It was so amazing.
We should have done the Titanic thing, though, Lindsay.
We should have. We missed her. It was later in the day. And she's like, darn it, we missed our chance to get a Titanic picture.
Yeah. Because we went out there in the morning. It was raining, and we were the only ones out there. We totally could have done it.
You totally could have.
the thing I love about your guys', you know, stories about this is, you know, one of my favorite quote that we've talked about before is, you know, that travel changes us. Mm-hmm. You know, and it changes us. And for me, who's, you know, most of my life I've been a social worker, one of the unexpected, incredible things about moving into this profession is falling in love with the world all over, you know, in a way you never expect to fall in love with the world. Mm-hmm. And as you're planning trips for people and getting to travel yourself, you know, it's just like every place is more beautiful and more wonderful than you could describe. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when Sandy talks about taking advantage of the learning opportunity, it helps you to just really, you know, to change the fabric of who you are and for you to appreciate, you know, our country, the layout of our country and the what makes up our world and the beauty of it and how it was constructed. And it there's depth to that instead of just, oh, it's so beautiful. You know, there becomes a depth to it. You have a story to tell about it, you know.
So I want to ask something, because you've said these letters like three times now, and I'm desperately trying to think of what they are, and I can't come up with it. So as soon as I ask this question, I'm sure it's just going to pop into my head, but what does EXC mean? What is that?
Exploration Central.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, I wouldn't have come up with that.
But it's really cool because it's dedicated space on the ship that's dedicated just to the destinations. So it's got interactive with touch screens and maps, so you can kind of go through and look at all the different shore excursion opportunities at each port, and you can also zoom in and zoom out and see exactly where the ship is in relation to where everything is going on. All the tour guides are there, the EXC tour guides are there, and they give the talks on the lectures, anything from bush planes in Alaska to, you know, Glacier Bay or whatever, the wildlife, the opportunities are really endless. But Laura, I have to say, you gave me chills when you, with your little speech there. I really, that's the reason I'm in the travel industry, is because it really, you know, it touches people and it changes people. And when you come back, regardless of whatever trip it might have been, you have a new perspective, and you keep a little bit of it with you. So yeah. I just wanted to let you know you really communicated that well.
Well, the EXC part of it is another reason that I love to book on Holland, is because it, wherever you go, so that's just not an Alaska thing. It's part of your brand wherever you go, that opportunity is available to people. And I think that's why it makes it a perfect line for, especially for, like, I have a family who's going, who they're doing as a graduation cruise, and it's, they have a son graduating from high school and a daughter graduating from college. You know, and it's just the perfect time in their lives for them to really be learning and be invested in their, you know, in their destination in that way. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And you still get like that comfort and classic style of Holland America, and great service and great cuisine as well. So, I mean, it's a really nice combination that's wrapped up in a little bow for people. So it works really well.
Yeah, Lindsay and I were noticing the service level that dropped way down once we got home.
Benedict the first morning home, and my cabin steward was not cleaning my room properly. He was not fulfilling my breakfast order.
Oh, yeah, my family took me to IHOP, and let me tell you, we want to go for lunch.
Culture shock!
Yeah.
I've heard so much about Holland is that the food is just phenomenal.
Oh, it is, and I'm a picky, I'm like a food snob, so I'm not, like, and I was really, really pleasantly surprised with the quality of the food that we had in the dining area, and just the main dining room as well. And then we had a couple great specialty restaurant experiences as well. So it was overall, I can't say it enough, but we were completely, I have a new favorite cruise line.
Now, can you get all the local seafood on the boat?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, so like all of the dishes, you know, Pinnacle Grill, for example, our flagship specialty restaurant is all Pacific Northwest cuisine. So it's Alaskan salmon, king crab legs, things like that. But even the main dining room is going to have local cuisine, and really cater to where we are in the world. We have a culinary council of chefs that oversee every single dish, whether it's in the Lido deck or in a specialty pop-up restaurant. They oversee every single dish to make sure that it's up quality and that they're okay putting their name on it. And it's a big area of focus for us. And I was on a contemporary line for a conference a few weeks ago, and I missed the Holland America food so much. I was like, I need to go home right now and go on Holland America.
Well, and it's that, and your new partnership with America's Test Kitchen that's kind of been on board now for, I guess, about a year and a half, right?
Yeah,
oh, my husband would love that.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cool. Did you guys go when you were on the ship?
We did.
Yeah.
Got some salmon recipes.
Let me tell you, everybody went, because it was standing room only every single time I was down there. That was definitely a major draw on the ship, and it was really kind of one of those unique things that I've never seen on a cruise ship before.
So do they set it up like, you know, America's Test Kitchen, the whole thing is like, we're going to repair this six different ways and we're going to pick the one that's the best so that we know the best way to, so they make chocolate chip cookies 18 different ways or whatever.
Not exactly. So the one I saw, they did two different recipes of salmon, but they did get into the science-y part of why these flavors mingle and stuff like that. But they did a really good job of like having screens to the side and focusing on the food and what he was doing. And, you know, I mean, it was like you were in a studio audience watching a TV show. It really felt like that. It was really cool. We didn't get to eat the stuff.
So,
that was a bummer.
But then there's glasses the recipe too, right?
So you can make it
yeah,
yourself.
We did get the recipe cards, yeah.
And then there's classes, isn't there, too, that you can take on top of that?
Yeah, on the Pinnacle class ships, so like the Connie and Zam and our new ship, the new Stottendam, they'll have hands-on classes. So they can do, so the really popular ones are like homemade pasta. I've also heard the cake decorating one is also popular as well. So those ones are more on their Pinnacle class ship. But yeah, I hope they expand that to the full fleet, because that hands-on experience really is what people are looking for in a lot of ways. But the current America's Test Kitchen really does make you feel like you're on Food Network and in the audience of that.
Yeah, it was good. It was very good. Cool.
I have to compliment the Yerodem. I mean, you mentioned that the little bit of more that you can get on the Pinnacle class ships, but I was really impressed with the creative use of space on that ship. I just fell in love with the size, and the test kitchen is also the same area that B.B. King's is in, and at night you would never even know. It's like a complete transformation, and let me tell you, for anybody listening who might have thought when I had 6 years ago my preconceived notion of Holland, that by like 8 o'clock the whole ship's snoring. I took video of people rocking out in BB King several nights after 11:30 at night, and just the wide variety of ages from they had their kids in there with their families. There were young couples. There were people who'd been married for a really long time. Probably some people who'd been married for too long. You know, a wide variety of people, but everyone was having such an incredible time, and the musicians. The talent on board is just phenomenal. I could not stop taking little snippets of video, because I knew no one was going to believe how great everyone sounded. Mm-hmm. It was such a real treat. It was completely unexpected that the music would be of that caliber.
So what was the entertainment? What was it? Was it Broadway style shows? Was it chamber orchestras? What was it?
Oh my gosh.
So I'll talk about the main theater, because I didn't stay up late enough to go.
Of course you didn't stay up late. What did I say about our older agents?
So the first show I saw in the main theater was called 1,000 Steps, I think. And it was really cool, because they had the scenery in the back was these like tall pillars that were all these lights that just changed. Like they would move and change, and it would completely change the background. So you might be in a street, or you might be on a river or something, you know, like mm-hmm. It was constantly changing, and the singers were phenomenal. The dancers were phenomenal. We had a rocky day that day. And so, someone told me later they couldn't do the second show because someone twisted their ankle. I didn't know how they were dancing around
at the show. We were in awe watching them too, because the ship was swaying, and here they're flawlessly performing.
Yeah, they were amazing. But the one that was really awesome was the Glacier Bay Day, and it was the partnership with BBC, and they had footage of all this wildlife, and you know, it was all really crystal clear, huge screen, and they had an orchestra like doing the music for it.
It brought it to life. And I must have shown that since I've been home, I've probably shown my little snippet of video I took of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad I did recorded 20 seconds of the music with the mm-hmm. with the background and the sound to about at least 2 dozen people, because you have to see what I experienced on the Eurodam. It was incredible. That was so well done, the video, and mm-hmm. the fact that footage was shot specifically for Holland, and the music, it just made the hair stand up on the back of your neck, and brought that scenery to life. It was such a great marriage of entertainment.
Was that film only Alaska, or was it all over the world?
It was Alaska.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the other, all the shows were good. The
comedian, they had a magician.
I stayed up and saw the comedian. Sandy was sleeping. he was really, really good. And then the magician was good too. He was, he won Penn and Teller's magician contest. I don't know.
Throwing around those technical terms.
Yes.
Again, right? Yeah, right.
Throwing around those technical terms. I'm going to get an angry little...
No. Yeah. So we liked the entertainment. It was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then right after the comedian, something that happened that I was completely not expecting were they had a presentation that was performed and put on by the crew, by the Filipino staff members, and it was so cool that they took their time. And they're had to have been dead tired. They took time out of their own time to do the rehearsals and put the show on for the guests. And I mean, by the time they started, it was 11 o'clock at night. And it was just, I was so moved that there was that extra level of wanting to entertain and share. And as one of the performers said, now you've been in Alaska, but for an hour you were in the Philippines. Yeah. It was such a great unexpected touch to the night.
The crew are like the most special people. I mean, they really just know how to make it special for everybody, and they really anticipate things and they remember names. I don't know how they remember names, but but they're really able to make it feel like a personal experience the whole time.
Yeah, we enjoyed, Sandy, I think it's safe to say we enjoyed every single thing we did, from the trivia to...
Yeah, we are trivia champions, because we won the world trivia. We met a couple friends on board. Shout out to Roger and Dave. And they were also travel agents, and we got every point possible in the world trivia.
Wow.
I know, it was awesome.
Wow,
was
really good for you.
But so you know what we did?
You may have redeemed yourself for those Canada comments.
You said that Glacier Bay was one of your favorite places on the cruise. What's your favorite place?
Oh, okay. That's so hard. I really like Sitka.
Me too.
Yeah, Sitka's a really unique city, just in Alaska overall. And when I was walking through that town, like, I felt the culture and the history of you know, the Russian ties. And I really felt like I was walking through an Alaskan town. Like, it gets up to about 9,000 people during the summer. And so it really felt like people lived there. It really felt like I was a part of it. And I think just that Russian history is also really, really captivating and interesting too. So that's probably my favorite. But I hesitate to say it's my favorite, because we have the land part of Alaska too, with Denali and all of those other parts. But on this itinerary, the Alaskan Explorer, Glacier Bay, and Sitka are really special parts.
Yeah.
Well, and Sitka has the Raptor Center there.
Yeah.
And I was one of those very, very, very lucky people that got to hold a bald eagle once.
I don't know how lucky that is. They're really heavy. And they have sharp claws.
It was very lucky, because nobody else got to do it.
Wait, you mean nobody else would do it?
Nobody was holding eagles when I was there. A few.
Yeah, we weren't that close to them. But we were close, but they were in cages. Yeah.
We went to a couple.
The Fortress of the Bear and the Totem Park. Yeah, I loved Sitka too. And when we did a city tour, and we went down by the bay or something, and there were harp seals like cruising through the bay, harbor seals.
Yeah,
and just swimming up. And our guide was like, okay, y'all can go look at them if you want, but I'm scared of them because they chased me down the dock one time. Like, oh, maybe we shouldn't get too close.
There were sea lions, not seals. There was the sea lions that were out there.
Okay.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Sitka is not on a lot of Alaskan itineraries.
Nope.
It's on some, but it's more rare.
Yeah,
it is. It's more rare. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because we didn't do Skagway.
What are excursions and stuff that people usually do in Sitka?
Fortress of the Bears is very popular to go see some rescued bears that were being rehabilitated in a safe environment. So that one's really popular because you can see bears pretty close.
Yeah.
And also, you know, a lot of people like to do the sea otter ones or whale watching also in Sitka.
And there's a hatchery there too.
Sitka's the day that was it Sitka? No, it was when we were in Glacier Bay that we saw the little sea otter float by underneath our balcony.
Aww,
super cute. I gotta get a picture of it.
In Sitka, we were going back to the ship. I thought I saw a sea otter, and we were kind of joking. I'm like, there he is. He's rushing to say hi to me before, but it was a sea lion.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I got some video. Sandy got some. We were so far away that, you know, but you could tell he was hunting. He was going down. I just love, there's so much to love about Alaska. And every time I try and pick a favorite anything, it's my next thing I experience ends up being my favorite. It's just never going to.
Yeah. Well, we went to, when Juno, we did the foodie walking tour, and it finished up with just barely enough time to get over to Mendenhall Glacier. So we went over there, and we didn't even get to go to the visitor center. That's how late we got there. But we saw bears just walking around. There was a bear mama with two cubs that was just on the path. I had to tell a ranger it was there. I was like, oh, bear, don't go up there. She didn't see
it. My mom was there a week ago, and same thing. There was a bear that just came right out near the visitor center, and the rangers are out there kind of clearing the crowd saying, oh, you know, yeah. Just get out of the way.
It's close.
They're just making it easy for you so you don't have to climb up all them steps.
And you're like, oh, I'm not going up there.
you're talking about the foodie tour, and I can't believe we've gotten this far in. You guys must be on your best behavior tonight, but you haven't talked about beer yet.
I know. And well, I was really surprised.
I did several self-created and guided beer tours on land.
But honestly, I was watching your pictures, guys, and you were having a lot of craft beer on board, which is super weird for a cruise ship. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so they have Alaskan Brewery beer on board. Really good.
And you can get a little passport. You can buy a passport, and basically your seventh beer is free, or something, sixth or seventh beer.
But the pitchers were a pretty good deal. Then we discovered happy hour.
And now the podcast deteriorates.
Our learning potential that we didn't discover happy hour until like almost the second to last day.
We're like, wait, you'll give us another drink and you won't even open it and we could take it back and put
for
it in our
$2?
Yeah, it's like,
yes! Yeah. Great deal. It's like the best happy hour I've ever seen.
So, drink $2. So focus on the beer. Do you have any idea how many different beers there were?
Well, there were two drafts that were... Like the craft beers on draft were two.
Okay.
I think there was an amber and we were drinking the pale ale, I think.
Was there like a tasting or something that I saw in some of your pictures?
Yeah, I thought I saw you.
We didn't do any of the tastings.
What?
We signed up for all of the tastings and then realized that they see, you'd be really happy with this. All of the tastings happened during our only educational sessions on board.
Not all of them, but...
Well, most of them. And then we thought we were going to make one of the mixology classes, but she kind of ran over. But she was telling us about so many great things about the new EXC cruises that are coming out, and we couldn't skip out of class. So we'd be very proud of us.
So you were drinking during class.
No,
they weren't.
Just before class.
We didn't get to that.
But it pushed me. Well, no, I would have done it anyway. I'm not even going to lie and say it pushed me to, because I started doing it in Juneau. But I sought out the local breweries at every port. And let me just say, if you are a beer aficionado and you are looking to go to Alaska and you maybe have done the excursions or you want to do part of an excursion and then come back in the afternoon and you're looking for something to do, you can take a beer tour that'll pick up at the Alaskan store. And you can go right to the brewery and do a tour. There's a little bus that'll take you, what was it, $25 when we were in Juneau. But there are breweries within walking distance at every every port. So Alaska's a fantastic place to be to try the beer, because the water's so
got great water.
Water's good, so the beer's great.
Yep. And because it's Alaska, it's so far away that it's actually hard. Lindsay, you probably see a few Alaskan beers where you are, but probably not very many. They just don't come down
I have a lot of Alaskan. Well, I'm closer to Canada than the U.S.,
But for those of us who don't live in Washington State, it is, I mean, you know, it's very rare, even in California. You're in Los Angeles, right, Tara? You don't see any. Right?
I don't see them. Yeah. Like, they are rare and few and far behind, but to find. So going north is the best way to experience a lot of them.
Yep. Okay, we can stop talking about beer now. So we talked a little bit about... So let's talk about Ketchikan. We haven't talked about that at all.
So Ketchikan, we did an excursion to the Misty Fjords, and we opted to do a boat instead of a flight seeing, which was really cool. We did it through Holland America, and they also picked up people from the Princess cruise ship that was following us around. and so it was cool. It was about 4 hours. What I liked about that was that's where I decided to do my Alaska night whenever I came back, because I'm like, they had samples of jams and smoked salmon, and I just bought a bunch of that. So if you're local and you want to come to my Alaska night, I'm going to have all those samples. But it was really cool because they had another native Alaskan on board that one. He was selling some of his jewelry and stuff, but he was from the Tlingit tribe. That's right, right?
Tlingit.
And he told Lindsay and I a really interesting story, Lindsay.
Oh, Sandy, that is not podcast appropriate.
Well, apparently otters aren't as nice as you guys think.
Oh, I totally believe that.
Yeah, they're like, they assault yeah. the seal.
Still nicer than hippos. Still, I would rather risk my life with a sea full of otters than, yes. than one hippo.
And you still die a furry bear. Cute death instead of a big toothy skinny death.
So anyway, that was really cool. And it was gorgeous. I mean, the fjords were amazing and they, you know, took enough time for us to take a lot of pictures outside. And it was a good, we didn't really get to see much of Ketchikan at all though, really, because that took up our whole time in port, unfortunately.
And so. on the ship that we were on, we got to try some more local beer from their local. See, the problem is I fall in love with all these tiny little local breweries mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they're one-off beers and then I can't get that at home. So, but they had that on tap and they had reindeer dogs on board, mm-hmm. which I was so excited about because I fell in love with reindeer dogs on my first trip to Alaska, mm-hmm. and I was convinced that this time I wasn't gonna get a reindeer dog, but
you did. You managed to do it.
You got it at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
It was 10 o'clock in the morning. Beer and a reindeer dog.
I fully believe
it.
Yes, I fully believe
vacation.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the last time I went to Alaska, I consumed an entire reindeer over the course of a week. I think it's totally possible to do. Because if anything had reindeer, I was like, I want to try it. So
I think the lady that owns Tia's at Anchorage would probably recognize me.
She spent like $300 on
it. You're back. Yeah.
So we haven't talked about the spa on Holland America. And I know Lindsay did some research there. She must have.
I did too.
Oh yeah.
Did you?
I did.
Yeah, she did too. You know what, Sandy would, you would be so proud of her because she, we weren't even on the ship yet. Okay. This was us. This was us at the port walking to board. And we said, that's when we signed up for all those drink classes right away before we had even gotten on board. And we bought the thermal spa mm-hmm. pass for the whole week, which we got the couples one.
Did you really
have a deal? Yeah. Cause we were in the same cabin.
Such a sweet couple.
No, we
do. I'm just going to tell you.
I was Windsor.
No, our it was just the two of us.
So we spent what did we go, three times?
At least, yeah.
We went at least three times.
That was the perfect itinerary to do it too, because we came back in from Juneau. It had been raining on that whole walking tour, and we're like, oh, we're gonna go get in that thermal spa with those heated lounge chairs, and
it wasn't busy anytime we were in there, and they capped the amount of people that they sell passes to.
Yeah.
So it wasn't overcrowded, and so there were a couple times
peaceful.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. It was nice and relaxing, and you really, I mean, it doesn't take too long to recharge, about 45 minutes or an hour, and, you know, doing the rotation through all the stuff and ending up on the thermal beds. And then what I really love about that is giving away one of my favorite tips for cruising is to get that thermal bath, because you can shower and change in a really big area. Get ready. And if you're sharing a cabin with someone you're not married to, or, you know, traveling, even if you are married to somebody and you're
traveling with someone you're not married to.
Yeah. For work, for us, friends or guy friends just hanging out together. It gives you that extra space for someone to get ready. So there were a couple times where I just took my clothes with me for the evening and changed and did my makeup with a real but I will say the Eurodam bathrooms were bigger than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Like
average.
Yes, I was very impressed with the size of this. So had we been just stuck in there the whole time, it would have been fine. But
so Tara, tell us a little bit about the accommodations.
Yeah, on average, our staterooms are 25% larger than contemporary lines. So that's just another little tidbit. But I think you guys were in verandas, I believe, yes, and that's the way to go if you're in Alaska. If there's a place to get a balcony, it's Alaska, because you just don't want to miss just all the wildlife that you see, all the, you know, the wonderful natural beauty. Because I can understand wanting only an ocean view and a couple other destinations where it's mostly water until you get to the ports. But in Alaska, you want to go with that veranda. But we have a wide range of staterooms, all the way from like this Pinnacle Suites down to the Neptune Suites, and then the Signature Suites, verandas, ocean view inside, as well as, you know, of course, the accessible staterooms as well. But
We got to see, I think it was a Neptune suite, wasn't it, Lindsay?
Yeah, it was a Neptune suite.
The president of the company was coming on board for just one night. So that suite was open, so the night before he got there, we got to go see it. And then once he was on board, he came and met us all, and we got a picture with him and stuff. That was pretty cool.
So can you talk about the suite benefits on Holland America? What are the benefits to booking a suite other than a really awesome large stateroom?
Yeah, other than that, you get priority embarkation, which is wonderful, so you get on the ship first. You also get access to something really special, which is called the Neptune Lounge. The Neptune Lounge has a concierge there where you can actually book all of your shore excursions or any of your onboard needs. They can take care of it. It also has nice light bites in the afternoons and snacks throughout the day, so it's really a wonderful time to just access, you know, ease of service, larger staterooms, and just an enhanced experience overall.
And that's another place that you mentioned embarkation. That's another place that a midship really shines, because one of the things, first things I noticed was we were doing the same at the same time that Princess was. And which Princess was it? Was it
Ruby?
It was a big Ruby, and just the, you know, the line on one side, and here we were just breezing on through on side. It was a nice side-by-side comparison of the difference of the values of being on a smaller.
Yeah, I loved that size ship. I thought
so. With the mid-size ship, do you still have two dining times? You still have an early and a late dining?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you also have as you wish dining if you want anytime dining. Yeah. Okay.
They have gala nights too. So if you want to dress up, you can.
Do people really dress up?
Yes. They do. Yeah.
Unless they're sick.
I know. I was like, I think I'm going to eat in the buffet tonight.
So Terry, you mentioned that it's a casual atmosphere, but then so it seems like it's a little bit old school, but like that you can dress down day by day, but then be ready to bring out the tuxedo at night.
I mean, it's all up to personal preference, really. And some people just love the gala night. That's what they look forward to the most. So people, you know, do get the tux and they do get the gown. But in Alaska, I've noticed that people are a little bit more casual from my natural experience. So it's more of cocktail attire.
Yes.
But some people do go all out. It really kind of just depends on personal preference, though.
And I think that's one of the really nice, one of the classic touches that Holland has and has held on to. It's a really nice blend with the new modern things on board, is that you can do the gala nights if you want to, and that old we all think of the, you know, Love Boat and the evening dress, and the other part to that is the tea we did, and I drugged Sandy the tea.
It was awesome.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did.
Did you keep your pinky out?
I was looking at all the little bites they had. It was like tiered tower of treats. It was really good. Yeah.
Is that included or is that an extra thing?
That's included.
The tea's included.
That's really fun. I love to do afternoon tea.
You can do that every day.
Yeah.
Or high tea time.
Mm-hmm. So
it's
so
fun.
While we're talking about included, can you talk a little bit about the specialty dining that you do have and sort of the price range on that?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So the Pinnacle Grill is the flagship, like I mentioned before, Pacific Northwest cuisine, $35 per person, but well worth it, because, you know, think about Alaska.
Crab legs makes it all worth it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hands down. Also, really wonderful wine list as well. Partnership with the Chateau St. Michel Winery, so a full wine list there. We also have tamarind, which is Asian fusion. And I want to, don't quote me on this one, but I want to say it's $25. But it's really, really delicious. It's all a very extensive sushi and, you know, noodles and, you know, delicious lobster and seafood of Asian flavors, all kind of combined with the elements. So there's like earth, wind, fire, and water as well. So that one's really fun and really interactive. Then I think the best kept secret, though, is Canaletto.
Yes.
Because, Canaletto is Italian fare, but it's only $15. And it's from the year ago, it's located in the Lido space, but they turn it into a specialty dining in the evenings. And it is really, really, really good.
That was our favorite meal. Yeah, my favorite meal.
Yeah.
We were so impressed with that. And I have to admit that I was joking a little, like, oh, it's right in the middle of the buffet. Yeah. I mean, wasn't, so didn't know what to expect, but it is a more authentic Italian food experience. Mm-hmm. It's not the Americanized Italian food that you would kind of expect to find. And what did we eat? We had the
sea bass, and we had the gnocchi. Incredible. But yeah, it was all sharing portions too. Mm-hmm. So that was fun because we were with some friends, and you know, we all got to kind of sample everything. It was really great. That was my favorite meal.
Yeah. So we love food in Holland, America. So.
It sounds wonderful. Awesome. Yeah. Sounds absolutely wonderful.
Yep. Well, that is our show for this week because we love food and we love beer and all that.
Yeah, we keep talking about it.
But we want to thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. And you can find us on Facebook at Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. And be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts because we'd love to hear from you. Thank you, Tara, for joining us.
Yay, thank you, Tara.
So on behalf of Elizabeth, Lindsay, Sandy, Laura, and myself, Donna, we want to thank you for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time. Gotta fly.